Hello to our Every Nation Church family in Malaysia. What an honor, what a joy to come and to speak to you today from Japan. I certainly wish that I could be there instead of talking through a camera, but I've been praying much for this message, and I really am asking the Holy Spirit to help me see you right there as I'm talking to you. And so I'm hoping and trusting that this will be a great conversation that we can have with one another. Thank you to Pastor Timothy and Teresa. Honestly, one of my dearest, dearest friends in the whole world. Timothy and I have worked together over 20 years. And when I count the people on one hand who I trust and want to be with, Timothy is on that. And that's not just words, that's truly, truly my heart. And you guys are blessed to have such a dear man and a wife as your pastors. And Tim has been an influence in my life, in my family's life, and I give you much, much thanks. I bring you greetings from my wife. Here's a photo of her. I've been married, I think it's 37 years this month. And we have two children, and my oldest daughter is Sarah and Skek. They've been at your church before, and Skek is our campus leader for Japan. And they have two children, which if I'm with any two people in the world, those are the two that I'm with. I like to be with them and my wife and Pastor Tim, okay? And then the next photo I wanted to show you is last year my second daughter got married, and she married a Singaporean. And because of Corona, we had to have the wedding on Zoom. And so this is the wedding ceremony. In fact, we were supposed to go to Phuket in Thailand for the wedding, but because of the Corona, we did it in his house and we watched on Zoom. So we saved a lot of money. But we're still going to have a party one of these days. I believe that. Also, I want to just say thank you so much for your support for our churches here in Japan, especially the new church plant in Shizuoka with Tony and Jocelyn. They're doing a great job. Not only is their church growing, their family is growing. And we are very, very blessed and thankful to our Kuala Lumpur family and Malaysia family for sending Jocelyn and standing behind them as they are growing a church there in the university town of Shizuoka. Okay, well, can I say a prayer before we get into our message? Lord, I ask you to take this important word now and teach us and feed us, instruct us and challenge us. And if we need correction, correct us. And Lord, I pray that everyone who hears these words, that your light would come on in their hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I often use this word protected. For example, a friend of mine was supposed to ride on an airplane, but his flight was canceled to the next day. And the plane that he was supposed to be on, that plane actually was shot down. This is several years ago. He was on Korean Airlines, and the plane was shot down and everybody on the plane died, but my friend didn't die. And so we often say, wow, he was protected, right? But when I think about that, protected, yeah, praise God, he's not dead. But what about those other hundreds of people who were on the plane? You know, we suffered a horrendous tsunami and an earthquake here in 2011. And you know, actually, I was in an airplane right above the epicenter of the earthquake, and my daughter looked out the window and saw the tsunami. And we often would say, man, God protected us from that tsunami. But the reality is more than 20,000 other people died. And some of them, of course, were Christians. Did God not protect them? In this era, of course, of COVID, you know, I got very, very sick earlier this year. I mean, I was very sick, but by the grace of God, I got better. My wife got better. But you know, her father died from it, and just a few days ago, one of my dearest friends, a much better Christian than I am, a much greater pastor than I am in Hawaii, he died, 68 years old, of the coronavirus. God protected me, but God didn't protect him. It's kind of a question we should stop for a moment and ask ourselves. And of course, as Christians, we know the answers. Yeah, God's protection maybe isn't how we define protection. All we can really say is that God is with us and God takes us through things. And the promise is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But it doesn't mean that life is only going to have good times. In fact, if we start to think that my life should only be easy and should never have big issues, then we're going to be very disappointed, and we're also going to end up very, very confused, because we're going to think, well, God, doesn't he love me? Has God forsaken me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with God? But God does not desert you. In fact, God goes through it with you. Let me stop a moment and just throw out a term to you that I like to use. It's this word called ultimate purpose. Ultimate purpose. What's the ultimate purpose for mankind? Is it to be happy? Is it to be fulfilled? And I would imagine a lot of people will say that. Yeah, my goal in life is to be happy. In fact, a lot of people become religious because that's what they're looking for. In Japan, we have a term, we use this term, it's called Goryaku Shukyo. Goryaku Shukyo. And what that basically means, for those of you who can read the Chinese character, maybe you can catch it, it means like a benefit religion. And a lot of people are in religion, and I would dare say even into Christianity, because we want to the blessing side. We want to be protected. We want to be healthy. We want to be prosperous. And I'm not trying to say those are bad things, but if that's our ultimate purpose, we're doomed for disappointment. So I want to stop for a moment to say this to you, that the ultimate purpose of humankind is really to know God. Let me say that again, to know God. You see, God is love, right? And so if we know God, and we really know God, and we really know his love, and his love casts out all fear, that even when the hard times come, which a lot of us have been going through with this corona season, we're okay. Because our goal is not our happiness. Our goal is not just to have perfect sunshiny weather every day of our life. Our goal, our ultimate purpose, is to know God and to live for God. So please keep this in mind as we get into our study today. Our story today is to continue with the saga of the Apostle Paul. And when we think of the Apostle Paul, you know, this guy went through horrible experiences, didn't he? He went through sicknesses. You've studied the book of Acts for several months, just like we here in Japan have been studying the book of Acts. It's very unusual. You guys and us have, without knowing it, have been doing the exact same things. In fact, I had prepared this message not just for your church, but for my church, because I preach the exact same thing here, that we're looking through the book of Acts. And so when we look through the book of Acts, of course, the whole second half is the story of Paul. And Paul's life is certainly not about happiness. In fact, he went through some horrible times. Did God betray him? Did God desert him? No. And in fact, that's one of the purposes of the book of Acts, to show that God brought him through it. And that's the word I'd like you to really catch today too, is that word through. There is a beginning, but there is an end. But in the meantime, is the through. So let's look at Paul. Paul, we're going to kind of go through an enormous amount of the book of Acts today. We're going to try to go all the way from chapter 21 to 26. So if you have your Bible, it'd be good to open it up and look together, because of course we're not going to be able to read all this, but I do want to give an overview of what has been happening. You can remember in chapter 21 that Paul has gone to the temple. He's been advised by his leaders to go and to clear up a misunderstanding that, you know, he's not a good Jew. And so he listens to his leaders, he goes to the temple, going to clear everything up, but instead of clearing everything up, it gets 100 times worse. Blows up in his face. And there's a riot. They grab him. In fact, the Bible says that they drag him out of the temple. Can you imagine how embarrassing this must have been, that this man has been dragged out of the temple? Why? Because he took the advice of his leaders. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And I would dare say he was totally, perfectly in the will of God. In fact, he knew, he didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew that bad things were going to happen to him, but yet he didn't worry about his happiness. He worried about knowing God and serving God, and he went forward. He decided that I have to go through this. And of course, his example was the Lord Jesus. Jesus went through the cross. He went through the grave, and then he came out in the resurrection. But the through has to be taken place, right? So anyway, Paul is arrested, or not arrested, but he's dragged out. And even then, in this most embarrassing moment, you can read the story there in chapter 21, he has enough soundness of mind and coolness of heart that he stands up and he preaches the gospel to these people that were trying to rip him apart. And he's speaking in Hebrew. They all get quiet and they all listen to what he has to say until he talks about reaching the Gentiles. Then they blow up. They try to tear him apart. And the Roman soldiers have to come in and rescue him. You can read that. And they take him and they're about ready to beat him. And they realize he's a Roman citizen. So they decide, we cannot beat a Roman citizen. And so they bring him, and we're jumping already now to chapter 23. They bring him before the Jewish council. So as we go through this, we're going to see, first of all, he's in front of the Jewish people. And now he's going to have his second time that he's going to speak. And the second time he speaks is before this Jewish council. Now remember, Paul used to probably be a part of this council. Paul was the one who was going out and trying to catch and kill Christians, remember? So these were people that knew him. He knew them. And he gets into this place, and we won't go into the depths of the story, but a great, great turmoil happens. And it says they seized, that they took him and they tried to rip him apart. You imagine? The leaders of the Jewish church, the leaders of the Jewish religion, the leaders of Jerusalem were so upset, they're trying to tear this man apart, and the Roman soldiers have to come in again and rescue him. Now, the Bible doesn't say everything, but we can catch something here, because in chapter 23, verse 11, it says, that night that the Lord came and stood with him and said to him, take courage, for you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. Catch this. In his going through, in his hardest time, God knows what we can take and what we can't take. God came to him. The Lord came to him and did two things. One, he showed, I'm with you. Take courage. And the second thing is, he gave him a mission. Here's your mission, Paul. Your mission is to go to Rome. And so he now is taken from, you can read through the story, because he stands before the council. In fact, in chapter 23, it talks about how they try to kill him. And then they take him in secret and with a whole bunch of soldiers from Jerusalem to Caesarea, down by the coast. And at Caesarea now, he's before the governor. And he's going to have a trial. And understand now, he's been with the Jewish people. He's spoken to the Jewish council, and now he's in the most powerful Roman man in all of Judea, the governor. And he goes before this man, and this time the Jews send a lawyer, a very well-trained orator, and this time this guy is going to say everything he can to try to, you know, condemn Paul. But in this beautiful story, we see Paul stands up again. You can read through his presentation here in chapter 24, the beginning. And in chapter 24, he's talking, he starts to talk and read through it. He's very organized. He's very clear. He knows exactly what he's going to say, and he does it well. Now, just stop for a moment, because we've studied the life of Paul. And as I read through his life, and one of the things I catch from him is he could be all things to all men. He talks about that, right? And so he was able to talk to slaves. He was able to talk to women. He was able to talk to, you know, angry Jewish people. He was able to talk to the scholars on Mars Hill. He was able to talk to even this governor. He had no fear of anyone. He was not anxious because something had been so clear already put into him. And what was that? It goes back to our answer. He knew God. He knew who God was. He knew he was in God's hands. And when you're in God's hands, all anxiety disappears. So I can see how your brain is thinking how you can apply this into your life, right? Anyhow, let's move on with our story. The ultimate goal was to know God. So Paul knew God. Paul knew God was love. And so he never tries to just, you know, give excuses for himself or to win his case. In every one of these trials that we're going to read through, he's testifying about the gospel. He's telling the good news of Jesus Christ. He's saying every one of these stories that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is resurrected from the dead. In fact, they're trying me because I say he's alive. They're trying me because this story is not just for the Jews, but it's for the whole world. And that's why they're trying to kill me. See, Paul was using his defense as an opportunity, as a vehicle to preach the gospel to all these people. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 14 is a verse I've always tried to remember because Paul's talking about himself. And he says, why do I keep doing what I'm doing? He says, because the love of Christ compels me. It pushes me. God has loved me so much. Of course I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Whether I feel it or don't feel it, whether it's according to my good circumstance or not, whether my English disappears sometimes, but you know, whether it's convenient or not, I'm going to do it. The story is huge. He gets there and he talks to this governor. And the governor, in fact, you can look through here, he listens to him. And in chapter 25, it listens to him again and says, you know, this guy could go free. In fact, the governor was just waiting for a bribe, basically. And Paul could have taken the shortcut and got out of this whole story. Remember his mission. I need to go to Rome. And so he doesn't take the shortcut. Instead, he says, you can set me free, but I don't want to go free. I want to appeal to Rome. And so, of course, the governor says, to Rome you shall go. And in fact, Paul is in prison there for a couple of years. The first governor, his name's Felix, his term is over. The next one comes in. This is Festus. And so Festus, the last thing we're going to look at is in chapter 26, is the final trial, okay? Let's go through them again. He's before the Jewish people. He's before the Jewish council. He's before the Roman governor. And now, again, with the Roman governor invites the king, Agrippa. This is Herod. This is one of the Herods. And this is the most powerful man in all of Judea. And it says that with great, what's that? With great pomp and, you know, with great ceremony, the king comes in. And I have a photo here, a picture, not a photo, an old painting that shows you kind of, so you can get a feeling of what it was like at that place. And he gets into this place. And you can imagine how I would have been very nervous. But Paul, again, he's just calm. He's not anxious. And he remembers the words of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said that, you know, In your life, there will be lots of persecution. In fact, you're going to be arrested. And you're going to stand before kings. And at that time, don't worry, because I will give my spirit to you, and the spirit will put the words in your mouth. And so here it is again. Every time Paul stood before whether the governor, whether before the king, there was this understanding, there was this feeling that God is in me, that the words that are coming out of my mouth are just not my own logic and my own great defense like a lawyer. This is the very words of the Holy Spirit who's in me speaking. And so Paul was totally not anxious. And he gets before the king and he tells his story. And listen to this, you know, your story is your most powerful tool. People can say, well, I heard this about Paul, and I don't know if it's true or not, but when Paul himself stood there and said, this is what happened to me, and the whole time when Paul is speaking, this room is full of all these important people, but his focus, and you can read through here in chapter 26, he says it time and time again, but King Agrippa, he's looking right into the king's eyes and saying, King Agrippa, he's using this defense of himself as a great time to share his testimony and hopefully change this king, to persuade this king to follow Christ. And that's you and me, the same thing. Our story has power. Our story, people can look at it and say, well, either you're a fool and a liar, or maybe there's something truth to what you're saying. And when they look in your eyes and they see what really happened to you, there's no greater impact. So he tells what he was. He says, you know, I was just like those guys in the Jewish council. I was one who was out there ripping up and trying to kill Christians. That was me. I was an anti-Christ. But one day, I'm on the way to Damascus to go catch more Christians. And on the way, remember, what is the ultimate goal of life? To know God, right? What happened to Paul? On the way, this light shines in heaven. And who he thought was God, he realizes he's totally mistaken, because it's, who are you? He looks at this light. Who are you? And the Lord says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And now Paul really knows God. And with that knowing of God, it says, you know, he fell down, he went blind. You can read the whole story. And finally, you know, Ananias comes and prays for him and he can see again. But God gives him a mission. And he tells about the mission. My mission is to bring the people who are in darkness and bring them to light. My mission is to go to the other nations and share this good news, to bring people into freedom. And you can tell he's not just saying this was what the Lord said to me. He's saying that to Agrippa. Your eyes can open today. You can be free today. And this Paul is with this passion sharing what happened to him and how God changed him. And listen to this carefully. And how God gave him a mission. And that's part of what it is. When we come to Christ Jesus, we come out of ourselves. If you catch this, please. It's not about my happiness. It's not about my blessing, my prosperity. When you really meet God, nothing else matters than doing what God wants you to do. And so the story, you know, kind of, you can read through everything he says, but the king says to him, Paul, in verse 28, he says, Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? Verse 29, Paul says, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day, you can see him looking around the room, all you who hear me this day, I want you to be just like I am, except for these chains, of course. So Paul has shared with Agrippa. We don't know what happens to him, but we do know that Paul spoke to him. And we'll see later as we read through the end of it, he does go to Rome. He does speak to the emperor, to the Caesar. And in fact, if you go down the list again, he spoke to the Jewish people, he spoke to the Jewish council, he spoke to the Roman governor, he spoke to the king of Judea. Now he will also speak to Caesar. But here's the beautiful thing, even 2,000 years later, He's speaking to you and me. Can you catch that? This act of what happened to Paul those couple thousand years ago is still very much alive today. Let me finish up by just catching up, by picking up a big word here in this story. You remember the king says, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul says, yeah, of course. I'm trying to persuade you. That word persuade, I think, is an answer to why Paul could do what Paul could do. Because Paul was persuaded. Paul could persuade the king because he himself was persuaded. This term doesn't come out in the Bible very often, the word persuade. But it comes out in the book of Romans. And as you've been studying through the book of Acts, I hope you've been reading some of Paul's letters, because a lot of those letters he wrote during this whole story of the book of Acts. And one of them was the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 8, which I have been reading over and over again as I've studied the life of Paul, is one of the strongest pictures of the motivation of why Paul did what Paul did. In verse 38, listen to this carefully, because he says this term. He says, for I am persuaded. Say that word with me, persuaded. In the Japanese Bible, it says that I am convinced. I have total assurance. I know that I know that I know that I know. That's what I want you to catch. He was trying to get the king to be persuaded, right? And he could do that because he himself was persuaded. And what was he persuaded? He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You catch that? He was so persuaded that nothing, 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 even the king, even the suffering, even the torture that came to him, that could never separate him from the love of God. You're getting an understanding of what it means to be protected? You're getting an understanding of what it means to go through things? I hope so. Paul could keep on going because Paul knew that God was love. Paul could keep on going because, here's the picture I have, is he was like on a bulldozer. And this bulldozer of love just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. I'm going to keep going. The love of Christ compels me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Of course I'm going to keep going. Because the love of God. Because he knew God. Let's stop for a moment. How about you? How about you? All of our lives have trials, right? And be honest. If I was with you right now, I would ask for a show of hands. How many of you have ever been offended by God? Right? God, you promised me this, and you said you'd do that, but what happened? You know, horrible things happen to good people, and we say, God, where were you when that happened? I didn't get into the school I wanted to. The girl I was supposed to marry ran off with somebody else. My life didn't go the way it was supposed to go. The things that happened to me as a child were horrible. Where were you, God? We all have those questions. And I think it's very important to be honest and say that we have them. But the understanding is this, and it will make a totally, totally difference in your life. When you know God, and when you know that he was with you, even in the midst of the hardest times, when you know that, as he says in Romans chapter 8, the same place as all things work together for good, right? He's using everything for his purpose. You know, I've been a pastor for 40 years. This year is 40 years. And I've had to walk with people through some horrible, horrible things. And sometimes all we can say is, well, we're never going to really know the answer of that until we go to heaven. But the reality is this. Maybe we don't need to know the answer. One day we will know the answer. But when we can come to the point, well, I trust God enough. He is with me all the time. that as long as I'm in his hands, even if the worst things happen, I will get through this. There was a lady who was had become a Christian in my church and came to a really wonderful experience. She had a child, and her husband came with her from time to time, and her husband lost his company. His company went kaput, went down. And he divorced her. Everything fell apart. And, you know, I didn't see her for a couple months because they moved to another part of the country. And finally, we were able to get a hold of her, and she came to me with this big smile on her face, and she says, "Pastor Scott, I'm so, so glad I became a Christian." See, I was worried she was going to be all mad at God. "God, I became a Christian. Look what happened to my life." Instead, she said, "Man, if I hadn't become a Christian, I had no idea how I would have been able to get through this." Can you say that? I hope you can. When you look at your life, we try to understand why bad things might happen or why things are not always happy, happy, happy. I hope you could get together and just say with me, like Paul says when he asks this question, "Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress?" I'm still in Romans 8, right? Chapter 8, 35. "Who shall separate me? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword?" And in verse 37, he's basically saying, "No, nothing will separate me. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for each one who is listening to this message. And some of us are maybe even frozen and confused because we think life hasn't turned out the way it's supposed to turn out. But today, as we have looked at our Father who has gone before us, Paul, and we understand how he was able to go through this, help our eyes to open to help us go through this. For your glory, for your name. Father, I pray you would open our eyes. Pray that we would really know you, that we would know your love, and that we pray that we would be able to go through this. I pray, God, that your love would come upon each one who is watching this. And I pray that their questions could all be yielded to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing God, that's what it's all about. Not being happy, not being fulfilled. These are add-ons. Going through all things. And then, yeah, I'm protected. Because there's no safer place in all the universe than it is to be in the perfect love of God. God bless you. I pray that this message has been a help to you. And as you read through the end of the book of Acts, Paul still has hard things to go through, but he gets through them. And so will you. God be with you.